Next case is 00-1609, State of Ohio versus David Napier. Mr. Scott.
May it please the court, Mr. Chief Justice, Justices of the Court, Mr. Waxer. My name is Fred Scott. I'm here today on behalf of Robert Horowitz from Stark County, on behalf of the State of Ohio. And the case before you today presents a fairly narrow issue with a proposition that is very straightforward, which we ask this court to adopt, and that is to give the plain, unambiguous meaning to the term confinement as it's used in case law and statutes throughout Ohio, and in doing so also give plain and unambiguous meaning to the word detention as that word is used in cases and statutes throughout Ohio, and in doing so develop a test which will necessarily result from those definitions, which provides clarity and guidance for all courts in the state when they sentence individuals. As the court is aware, this matter involves a defendant who had completed time at a community-based correction facility.
Counsel, is there room for a middle ground here, or does this case not set up the opportunity to get that there? Middle ground being, if you're on weekend furlough at home, those days don't count, but days in which you're reporting in and essentially under some direct control do count.
Your Honor, I think that our position is that, there certainly could be a middle ground.
I mean, is the case set up in a fashion that we can...
The record is set up in this matter in a way that the court could strike a middle ground. However, in this case, we think the better argument is the plain and unambiguous meaning of confinement, which means that you're locked up. You can't leave. Your period of detention while you're confined is continuous, and therefore you shouldn't get credit for that. Many
CBCS have kind of a step-down program for the first 2 months. You can't leave. You go through treatment. You go through whatever. You're locked down. You can't leave for furloughs. You can't leave for something else. Then you can step down into going out to work, furloughs, that sort of thing. So isn't it possible that even within a CBCF confined, or a CBS stay, you could say 2 months, deal credit because you are truly locked down, can't leave, and then you step into the lesser stage where you don't get jail time credit?
Yes, Justice Stratton, and that is what we've argued in this case, and that's what Judge Boggins, the original trial judge in Stark County, found in this case. 30 days at the Stark County Community Center was locked down in confinement. You could not leave. If you left, you were subject to escape. I mean, if you snuck out while somebody else was leaving, I suppose you could be convicted. But you were tested, and you were analyzed, and you were given programs and training. And then after those 30 days, you could make arrangements to leave, assuming that you completed the program, and you moved into the lesser phase. To the extent that you had your own car at the premises, you could have a transportation officer available to you who was not armed, did not carry weapons, was simply trained in self-defense, that you would get a job, and that you could go on weekend visits to your family. So to the extent, tying back in with Justice Pfeiffer's original question to me, to the extent there is room in this case, and judges obviously you're still going to be bound by the statutory requirement that they give credit for time confined.
How do you distinguish Snowder?
Snowder is an interesting case which dealt with escape. And the escape statute is different than the term confinement. And our position is if you apply the plain definition of those two words, you can be guilty of escape without being confined. An example which occurred to me last night is the suspects being, you know, there's a heightened security because of the bombings in New York, and the suspect being detained at the airport. Now, if they break the official detention, they could be subject to an escape charge. However, they weren't confined at that time. They could also be subject to maybe a lesser charge, fleeing a police officer or some kind of other.
Isn't the issue here confinement?
Right.
Isn't it? And didn't we say in Snowder that this sort of setting is confinement? Why shouldn't we just affirm this case on the authority by entry in Snowder?
Because Snowder recognizes, Your Honor, our position as Snowder stands for the fact that entry into a community-based correction facility is confinement. And as Justice Stratton noted, there can be step-downs. And in fact, the opinion, the original ruling by Judge Boggins giving 30 days for the lockdown time recognizes that fact. Under it, admittedly, under the administrative code and under the statutes, when someone goes into a CBF or community-based correction facility, they are subject to confinement, and the facility has to be the type of facility where one could be confined. But as someone works through that program, specifically these low-level offenders, the emphasis changes toward rehabilitation, and it becomes more of a hybrid program.
But isn't the language in Snowder clear? It appears beyond doubt that entry into a CBCF constitutes confinement.
Again,
it talk about step down, doesn't talk about other programs. It just says if you go into that, it's confinement.
Again, we would ask the court to distinguish and imply the plain meaning of the term confinement and distinguish it in this case. And I believe it's going to be a very important issue for this court to do so as different hybrid approaches towards punishment or rehabilitation come before this court. I mean, hybrids that we can't even imagine at this point. So yes, entry into most community-based correction facilities is confinement. Now, the other interesting
aspect. Mr. Scott, though, what is entry? I mean, that's the tough part of that case to me. What did the court mean by entry? It's unclear.
It was unclear in Snowder. It leaves kind of unresolved why the court even addressed the issue of confinement, simply because always while you're under the control of a community-based correction facility, you are detained. If I'm at work and I'm supposed to report back into a community-based correction facility, I'm detained. If I leave with the officers at the community-based correction facility where I'm supposed to go, I'm detained. But if I'm forced to remain at the community-based correction facility uninterrupted, as one would give the plain definition of confinement, then you are confined and you are subject to a reduction of sentence upon reimposition. At this point, if the court does not have any further questions, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Mr. Waxer.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, opposing counsel, my name is Barry Waxer. I'm here on behalf of the appellee, David Napier. The main thrust of the state's argument in their brief seems to be that the legislative intent here is to do away with credit for CBCF time. And we do concede in our appellee brief that in fact 2967.191, when it was amended in July of 1996, did in fact omit that reference to CBCFs. But of course this court did have the opportunity in Snowder to address that very point, and it's interesting because the state in this case has essentially adopted the position of the defendant Snowder in the Snowder decision.
But you can't say that Snowder considered this very point, can you? I mean, it was about escape and detention. Though the court did, for whatever reason, reach out and use the word confinement, it certainly wasn't this issue.
I agree. It was certainly procedurally different, and it was different in the way that the issue was presented to the court. However,
the actual issue the court needed to decide was significantly different, wasn't it? It was about escape.
Correct, Your Honor. I would agree. It was about escape. However, the fact is that the court did, in the Snowder decision, clearly state that the legislature, by amending that specific statute, 2967.191, that does not signify any intent on the part of the legislature to do away with CBCF credit, and the court did clearly state that entry into a CBCF is confinement. I would also indicate that the legislative intent on this point, I think, is actually very clear. The state would have the court believe it's ambiguous, or that there's clear intent not to give CBCF credit. The Ohio Administrative Code, in fact, states that a CBCF is a secure facility used to confine persons. So I don't know how much clearer the legislature could be, both in the statutory language, the administrative code, in stating that it is confinement, and therefore under 2967.191, a offender would be entitled to credit for days spent in a CBCF. The state also relies upon a couple of cases, the Noggle and Conathan decisions in particular, to suggest that the courts in those cases did in fact rule that the offenders were not entitled to credit, at least not full credit, for time spent in various programs. In Conathan, they dealt with the Salvation Army drug program. In Noggle, this court heard that case and dealt with a Texas program called Help Is Possible. I think we need to distinguish between those cases and cases dealing with a CBCF. A CBCF is a unique facility established by statute. All across Ohio, we have various CBCFs. However, they're all regulated under the same Ohio Administrative Code by statute. They're uniform in nature. We're not dealing with a different program like a Texas program or a Salvation Army program. We're dealing here with a very specific structured setting where an offender is ordered as a part of his or her probation to go into a community-based correctional facility.
So you see no difference where an offender is confined, as this defendant was, for 30 days, and then after that he was able to go to his job, visit his family, even for extended periods of time. You think that that's confinement?
Yes, Your Honor, I would still contend that is in fact confinement. The record in this case clearly establishes that these individuals are not free to come and go as they please. There are rather rigid rules and regulations for them where they have to seek permission in advance from a staff member. They're given time to report back. If they're not back at that time, obviously, then they're in violation of their community control sanction, arguably. But this is no different from a situation where a county jail, Stark County Jail, at one point in time had a work release program. And individuals who were incarcerated there could go to work. They had given time to report back to the jail. And to suggest that these individuals would not be entitled to credit for days that they spend there, I think would lead to some absurd results. I think clearly the state is arguing, and I believe correctly, that detention is a different standard than confinement, and so I suppose it is conceivable that an individual could be convicted of escape because they're under detention but not confinement, but I think we have to be careful to avoid any absurd results here, and clearly we could see situations where an offender is not given credit for time spent at a CBCF if the state's argument is adopted by the court, but yet they can be convicted of escape for not returning at the given time. And I think that, of course, the axiom that statutes have to be construed to avoid absurd results, I think that certainly comes into play here. And for that reason, I would ask the court to affirm the decision of the Fifth District. I would just further indicate that the record does in fact suggest that they're indicate clearly that the entrance and exit doors to these facilities are locked. They have a secured perimeter. We're not talking about a facility where individuals can just go out as they please and come back. at a given time. They're given very strict rules for when they may leave, where they may go, and if they're not back by a given time, then obviously that is a violation of their of the program. Your Honors, I would not have anything further in the way of argument at this time unless the court would have some additional questions for me. I would simply ask that the court affirm the Fifth District Court of Appeals opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Waxer.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Scott, you've saved a little over 7 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I doubt that will ever happen again if I get a chance to be
unusual.
Up here. Turning first toward the removal from the statute and tying that in with the way misdemeanor defendants are treated, it seems self-evident that the clear, unambiguous definition of confinement is a continuous time that you're locked up. In fact, there is a specific misdemeanor statute which provides that if you are a misdemeanor offender and you are on a work release program, you should get credit for the time you were confined if you have spent more than 8 hours at a facility. And our position would be that the reason that that's there is because the clear meaning of the term confinement is you stay uninterrupted. So,
but aren't you, I mean, I guess my concern is the trial court here made an effort to try to split the issue and to be fair, but it doesn't. Doesn't that rule lend itself to all sorts of factual situations where we're trying to decide whether it's confinement of 50 days or 30 days or 10 days or confinement or detention? If we apply Snoder, the system doesn't have that problem, does it? If you're confined, as you say, you can go out for weekends and you can work, but you're still subject to the rules of the institution, are you not?
Yes, and just
you're not a free person, certainly. I guess somebody in the CBCF doesn't feel as if they haven't lost a good bit of their freedom, if that's not the test. Unfortunately, we don't have definitions. General Assembly doesn't give us definitions, which would be helpful, but aren't you, in the sense of the larger sense of the term, confined, subject to the rules of the institution?
Now, our argument would be, in the larger sense of the term, would be actually opposite. And the reason being is that if you're on probation, you are still subject to the terms of your probation officer. Your probation officer can say, go to that Narcotics Anonymous meeting at noon every day, for the next 90 days. And you're still subject, you still feel as if your life is in some way changed and under someone else's authority.
But with the CBCF, I think in most of them, except for the weekend leaves, you have to report. The CBCF, that's your home, isn't it? That's your residence for a period of time. That's different than being on probation and being allowed to move about freely, subject to some conditions.
Right. Certainly it is different, and we acknowledge that fact, and we acknowledge that the facility is one that is built so that it can be used for confinement. However, to work a kind of a bright line rule, the cases are always going to have factual considerations. I mean, it's hard to say that if you're gone for 3 days on a holiday weekend that you have been confined for those 3 days and you should get the same credit as somebody sitting in jail. And at the same time, when you're under lockdown, you obviously should receive credit for that. So I think for courts to just ignore it does a disservice to the perception of treating defendants fairly throughout the state.
If you're in a state prison and you have an illness that requires you to go to university hospital, while you're there, Ohio State University, let's say Riverside Hospital, while you're there, say you're there for 30 days, are you confined?
Yes, because you can't leave, and you can't. You're set to that room. I'm sure you're under guard, your movement is restricted the same way as you would be in a prison. Just to go back, I do think that when you examine these hybrid cases, of different types of punishment and rehabilitation. The rehabilitation setting cases, such as Nagel and the other cases that we've cited in our brief, do provide some guidance as to how a court should proceed in this manner. And the public policy issue in this case is also very strong, in that there needs to be a perception among defendants that they're being treated fairly, and also, as an encouragement, somebody who actually goes through the program. These are low-level felony offenders, generally, who are going to receive this option and this opportunity, and it's in our best interest that they have a reason to complete the program, and to, when they're out of the program, they have a reason to stay straight, basically. And subject to any further questions, we would rest, and we would simply ask this court to apply the plain and unambiguous meaning of the term confinement, and thank you for this court's attention to this rather narrow, but actually, as things progress, I believe in the future, it's going to be a far-reaching decision. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.